I'm not so sure everybody's in the Christmas spirit yet. Seeing a few comments about salary and pay for elected officials. People upset about traffic and bills and lineups and all kinds of stuff. I don't know. It's Monday. It's the 9th of December. It's the Sheldon McLeod Show on News 95.7. Matt Brand is our producer. Not entirely sure what it takes to get you into the holiday spirit. It takes you to get into the mood to give or perhaps give of your time. Our fire hall had its annual Christmas, party, banquet, get-together gathering. A couple of the firefighters with 30-plus years experience as volunteers. And our hats off to them. And a big salute and cheers to you and thanks for all your help and all you do. That was Saturday night. We played some reindeer games. Had a little bit of fun. We didn't have any Christmas music.
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
Was it a Christmas party?
Well, it was our holiday, Christmas, end of year, the time we get together, potluck. Yeah, that was a Christmas party.
But no holiday tunes.
I usually remember, but I forgot. So busy.
Hold on, you were in charge of the tunes?
No, I wasn't.
Let's get to the bottom of this. Who was in charge of the tunes?
Nobody.
Oh, well, that's part of the problem.
That's a huge part of the
problem. So zero tunes.
Yeah, and it was after the fact that I went, oh, I should probably find, I found an old radio that was at the fire hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't work. It's like, why would anybody say, oh, maybe the cassette player worked. I don't know. Maybe the cassette player did work, but we had no cassettes because that's kind of, you know. A thing.
That makes sense.
Yeah. No CD player. Well, there was a CD player, but it wasn't hooked up. We had no CDs anyway. We had a Felix the Cat Christmas DVD. I have no idea where that came from.
And was that playing?
No. Because we didn't have a DVD player. Normally, I would just bring a computer and plug it in. Did not do
There's
that.
Nothing.
Just, so, yeah, it was just silent.
Just.
Yep.
Just enjoy your time in silence. No one say anything either.
Yeah, exactly.
Shh. Be quiet.
Keep it down. Shh. No. It was a good time. Did these little reindeer games afterwards. Were kind of
I could have DJed. I could have come and DJed. I don't DJ. That's my thing, but I would have done that.
I know. And that's part of what, you know, we say. Are we going to pay for a DJ? Because no one stays. No one stays all night dancing like they once did.
There's no DJ.
Well, no, but when we did do that.
Oh, I see.
It would seem like, well, you know, they're packing up by 10 o'clock.
Right.
Going home. It just didn't make sense. And this time of the year, it's not cheap. And I agree. It shouldn't be cheap. You know, that's how some people are making their living. Mm-hmm. So a few years ago, they went, well, you could do it. And they said to me, Sheldon, you could do it.
Why don't you be the DJ?
Well, the problem with that is then I end up being the DJ. I thought it was a party for me, too. Not to say DJing's not fun, but not as
kind
fun
of the
as,
life of the party, aren't you?
DJ? I'm fine with it. So we had the decorations up and holly jolly time was had by all.
Nice.
Yeah. So you guys got you went out and hunted down a tree, did you?
Yeah, we went into the woods.
Nice.
Stalked a tree. No, we looked around for seemed like damn near half an hour.
So when you do that, are you? I'm curious as to how you pick your tree, how you choose the tree you're going to take home, because I'm of two minds on this. Because when we used to take the kids, the first one is the one I want to take. That's perfect. No, there might be another more perfect tree. So let's go stomp around the woods. By the time we got back, can you remember where that last tree was for the first tree we saw? No. But that was the best tree.
The thing. You see a couple and they're contenders. You're like, well, we don't do that. We're like, okay, that one looks okay, but we'll keep going. The truth is, and I don't want to disparage, I won't say where we went, but maybe not an amazing selection of trees.
That's nature, though. That's nature.
It is.
But it is a tree farm, right? Christmas tree farm.
Yes, okay. Yeah. And then so we're looking at these trees and it's like, how about this one? But let's be honest, there's something glaringly wrong about every one of the trees we're picking out. It's like, does it cross the bar to acceptability? So, you know, we probably look for at least half an hour.
Wow.
Doesn't sound like a long time.
No, it does when you've got kids and you're trying to. Well, there wasn't
and
any
they're complaining
snow.
Complaining because they're cold, but we don't have a tree yet, kids, so you got to stay out here. We're not going anywhere until we find the right tree.
Get the right tree.
We're not settling. Refuse to settle. It's my lesson of the day. But we did find a tree.
Yes.
It was well-shaped. It was the right size. you know, we might have to rotate it a certain way so to bring out the best
or to hide best the side. Or to hide the worst side. Yeah, that happens often.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I'm getting to that age where I don't really care what the tree looks like. The uglier the better would be fine. I just, you know what? You're going to slap a bunch of decorations on in 2 weeks' time. It's out in the backyard anyway.
Well, yeah, and the friends that we go with, we two families we go with our kids,
yeah,
and
yeah.
The other families, they're kind of
picky.
Opposite. Okay. I'm trying to find the right word here.
Okay.
And so it's like kind of first tree
pliable.
First tree, short, ugly.
Sure, that'll
crooked.
Do it. Let's do it.
They're like, it's a lovely Christmas tree. It's like not Charlie Brown tree, but
yeah,
in the spirit of that.
Right, right.
It's like, whereas we're a little more
that'll
picky.
Do. That'll do, pig. That'll do.
So then it also becomes like, kind of nervous. I feel like I gotta, you know,
up your game.
Well, I feel like we're holding them back because we're still looking around. Okay, they're already in the song process.
Let's go. We're singing songs, ready to decorate this second.
Yeah. So, yeah. But we did find one eventually. But better yet, you know, it's the eating food after the fact.
Well, that's why it's all adorable.
Yeah,
it's all adorable.
Go get warmed up. It was a good weekend.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that was our Saturday. Was pretty much that. Just a party. Got my broccoli salad ready in the afternoon. And
what's in a broccoli salad, Charlie? Is that the one with like the sesame?
There's broccoli. Sesame seeds? There's broccoli in it.
Just broccoli.
Broccoli. Well, and a dressing. And by dressing, I mean it's like mayonnaise and sugar and vinegar. It's pretty simple.
Okay.
But pretty straightforward. I don't know if they like it or not, but they said you have to bring that again this year. And I think it's just because, you know, it fills everybody up, which is possible. Is that noise again that we didn't know what it was last time?
Maybe.
I don't know, that horn. You can't hear it on the air, but
I don't know. It sounds like there's like
a work whistle. 5 o'clock.
A shirtless
somewhere.
Man standing on top of a mountain with a ram's
Ricola.
Horn in his mouth.
Ricola. I don't know what that is either. We're going to talk about the season. We're going to talk with Dave Carroll of, yes, United Breaks Guitar Fame. I'm sure he's tired of that story, but he still tells it and he gets invited to talk about it. So whereas I'll tell you what Shelter Nova Scotia is doing and how Dave Carroll is helping. We're also going to be chatting with folks involved with the union representing paramedics in Nova Scotia. But there was a couple of stories. There was this report that was supposed to be done a while ago on fixing the system, of making it better. Where's that report at? Maybe for Christmas. We're going to hear from the folks with the Pharmacy Association of Nova Scotia. There was an announcement on Friday, and I think they re-announced it today. There was another event this morning. Maybe this one was for the cameras. It's to allow pharmacists to write prescriptions. Was for certain conditions. We'll tell you about that. We'll talk about trucking, the big old trucking industry and tires, winter tires. Mm-hmm. And
other stuff.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how to, I can't, there's no way to say it. Big Bird's gone. The man behind Big Bird, or the man in Big, that sounds wrong. The man who brought us Big Bird, Grouch.
The man who brought Big Bird to life.
Oscar the Grouch passed away, Carol Spinney. And I remember when Carol Spinney announced he was retiring as Big Bird, that he was stepping away. Then I think his health took a turn for the worse after that. I think he had a stroke after that. But
right.
When he announced that he was giving up that role, that he was walking away from it, it was a man who I met here in Halifax. In fact, he brought Kermit in with him once. A man who was involved with, what was that show? Fraggle Rock.
Mm-hmm.
A puppeteer from Nova Scotia who worked with Jim Henson.
Yeah.
And Carol Spinney.
Nice.
He's going to be on the show today. And Terry Angus, wonderful man, lovely man. He's shared some pictures on his social media about, you know, time he spent with two films that he worked with Carol Spinney. Follow That Bird and The Muppet Family Christmas. Yeah, Muppet Family Christmas. So we're going to talk to Terry about those memories coming up on the show. And we're going to talk about the stadium. That's coming up.
Yep.
Again, for discussion.
It's coming up next.
Council's
going to
yeah, it is. Yeah.
Next.
Boom. Absolutely. I just wanted to share that I had a request, a Facebook request message last week, and it was from a woman named Mary Ann Conrad. Mary Ann Conrad says, I need help. I don't know what to do about this. I have this rare genetic condition, a blood disease that's fatal, and I can't afford, the medication's not covered. It's not covered by the province. And she's asking me, what do I do? Now, I don't know. I just talk on the radio about things and such. And I did forward her information. I forwarded it on to somebody I knew that I trusted. But the community, has responded in a big way. It became a story last night. CTV mentioned it's the crowdfunding campaign that was launched, and she's gotten enough money donated to cover her medication. So good for you, all of you who helped out. Marianne Conrad, good for you, Marianne Conrad. She seems over the moon. I was speaking with her a little earlier today, and literally says, we are over the moon. Good for her. Good for the family. And I hope, if nothing else, this brings a little bit of Christmas spirit your way. Just to know, the spirit of giving is alive, and so is Marianne Conrad. Get her name right. Marianne Conrad. We'll take a break. Back in just a moment to talk about stadium proposal. Jacques Dubé says, 20 million, but that's all you get. What does Mojolander think? Let's find out. We'll be right back. It's Snoopy and the Red Baron. Welcome back. We learned last week that an official response had been filed ahead of tomorrow's council meeting. Halifax Regional Municipal Council, Mayor Savage, and members will be reviewing the community stadium recommendation that came from Jacques Dubé, Chief Administrative Officer with HRM. And in that, there were a couple of notes, one of which is 20 million bucks up front, or sorry, 20 million bucks at some point once construction is well underway, not up front, no advance fee, and that Shannon Park is not the place for this particular development. As mentioned, he's an economics professor at Concordia and Dalhousie University, and we've got Mojolander back with us. Happy holidays, Mojolander. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I saw you on the news last week, and I thought, I got to get this guy back on the show, because this is news. You had some time over the weekend to look over this lengthy proposal, the report from Jacques Dubé. What was your takeaway?
I think we've maybe reached the beginning of the end of the Schooners, haven't we? It wasn't a really strong endorsement for Shannon Park, which, thank goodness, somebody's realizing that. So, you know, it's now just a matter of, do we want to push through with a bad plan, or do we want to just continue with, looking for something better?
When the discussion was, you know what, we had set aside or had budgeted $20 million for a community stadium many, many years ago, and that's the number that we're looking at for this project, $20 million, and only after significant work or construction had begun. No tax incremental financing as well. Forgiveness of fees, not looking for that. Don't have any interest in that. This is pretty decisive.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically saying, look, if you guys want to build a stadium, then go ahead. We'll give you a little bit of seed money, and other than that, you're on your own. And you know what? Good for them. That's the way that it's supposed to be, is that you're not using public funds, and there's not that any stadium is better than no stadium. And so this is an acknowledgement that, you know, the city's listening, that, yeah, it's not the right location. You raised two points. The one that caught me was that there was a bit of a rebuke there about even just the transportation plan, which was immediately a concern, with only 500 parking spots for a 22,000-seat stadium. So where they started kind of costing out what would be necessary in building ferries and trying to get people to and from the stadium, there's kind of an acknowledgement here from the city that, look, if you want to go ahead with that location and with that plan, then good on you. You're welcome to it. But if you're looking for the city to cover the cost here, forget it. It's not a good plan.
Mojolander is here with us. The other issue that was raised in this report was that, this proposal means they would have to sell 21,600 tickets to each and every game. That would perhaps rival some of the most attended games in the country by teams that have been around a lot longer than a team that doesn't exist yet. 96% of tickets would have to be sold to meet what was in the plan from Sports and Schooner Sport and Entertainment. That just seems to me not a business plan, but just kind of a wish or a hope.
Yeah. Again, I think it's trying to raise the stakes on Schooner's ownership here, saying that, you know, if you want it, then these are the conditions on which we're going to help you out. But it's almost kind of making the conditions almost either impossible to reach or making them so high that it's going to, you know, make it that, okay, we don't mind putting money in if you can sell 96% capacity. But, you know, even there, what it's also kind of forcing the Schooners to do, which is not uncommon with a lot of professional sports franchises, is that if you fall short of that 96% capacity, then you're forcing the ownership group to buy up the loose tickets. And so in a sense, they're going to have to kind of create some economic investment in the stadium and its surroundings by ensuring that those tickets get sold in one way or the other.
You know, we had a panel discussion about this last Wednesday, and Sarah Ritchie from Global brought up a very interesting point, and it was one that I'd noticed Matthew Moore, who works here, had also raised, that we had a Grey Cup Sunday where Schooner Sport and Entertainment was zero, there was zero, perhaps, events planned by them. There was no tailgate party, there was no public viewing of the game, there was nothing from this organization.
Yeah, and Sarah and I have talked about that too, so it's good that she's still banging that drum. But yeah, you know, again, here's your chance to show to the CFL that they have a business plan, that there is a fan base, that they're ready to roll in 3 to 5 years, and that the only thing that's holding up this franchise is the stadium. And, you know, they were criticized for that last year by Sarah, in fact, for not being active with the Grey Cup party. And they missed the boat, no pun intended, on it again, where if they're not engaging the public, then it really does look like all they're interested in is a cash grab from the city. And at least the city is pushing back saying, well, we're not giving you the $100 million. You want it, you pay for it.
Moshe Landers here. It's getting hard to keep going back to the story and come up with something new to talk about, to be blunt. And again, this is a political decision. If, in fact, the council decides this is, you know, the investment they want to make, and that Schooner Sport and Entertainment finds that this is a reasonable compromise for them, that maybe it will happen.
Yeah, like I said all along, right? You're talking about an ownership group that has deep pockets, and they should be able to come up with their own money to front a stadium. And the fact that they're merely asking the public purse for money, and they're asking for no risk on themselves and for the city to absorb the risk, clearly makes it look like a cash grab. And the fact that they have designs on the broader part of Shannon Park in the form of residential and commercial development would suggest that really the stadium is merely a distraction to the real show, which is that they want the incremental tax financing to help subsidize the cost of building homes and commercial property rather than the actual team itself. And so for a team that doesn't exist yet, that's a very elegant business plan that really is not focused on building a CFL team, and certainly not a CFL winner.
Well, clearly trying to build interest in professional football, you know, we could go back to that, but we shouldn't. We've got the Halifax Hurricanes. I just saw a tweet from that team, the Professional Basketball League, saying we're 2 weeks away from starting our season. You've got the Thunderbirds Lacrosse League that just started up. Obviously, we had the soccer from earlier this summer that gathered a lot of attention. And this this plan, this financial plan that's included with the report from the CAO, Jacques Dubé, pretty bold disclaimer saying we're not, you know, this isn't a guarantee of any kind of income or revenue. And the common, perhaps, thought is that any ticket that would be bought for a football game would be not a ticket for another event, that money would just be moved around and not necessarily create new revenues. How do you see it?
No, I've said that all along, that disposable income is finite. And we only have so much money that we can spend on any form of entertainment. And so if you're going to spend it on the Schooners, then yeah, you're not spending it on the Hurricanes or the Mooseheads or wherever else that you're going to put that money in. And so, yeah, there is a certain aspect that this is why I've been saying all along that stadiums don't deliver net economic benefits. So it's just displacing income from one to the other. I think that maybe there's a broader issue, which is that even though after only one game, the Thunderbirds looked reasonably successful in terms of generating interest, the Hurricanes have had a successful franchise for a few years going to the championship, and the Wanderers did an amazing job building themselves into the Halifax fabric. I think the story here is that if you really do a good job of motivating the citizens, Halifax is a big-time sports town for Canada. It's just that this ownership group has just done everything they can to mess up that support for football. And I think that maybe City Council has kind of recognized that you know, I think time's up on this franchise.
Hmm. Moshe Landers here, just a few seconds left. Thank you again. This time zone thing sometimes is a challenge. I see Bill Morneau, the finance minister, is going to introduce legislation today to provide a tax break for anyone earning under $147,000 a year. There's a big conversation right now in Halifax since councillors and the mayor got a 4% bump in pay retroactive to earlier this fall. I'm curious, legislation before Christmas, $147,000 a year for a tax break. What should we be looking for in this legislation?
A nice big fat bonus in your pocket starting next year, right? I think that this is now kind of the shape of a left of center government that's being dragged further to the left. That you heard on the campaign trail that lower income, middle income support is what the Liberals were going to bring in if they were reelected. I think that this is kind of a very easy way to just put money into people's pockets, especially when there's signs that the Canadian economy is slowing down. This is a way to maybe give it a little bit of a jolt into 2020 and get past some of the trade tensions that we're caught in between.
But I would suggest to you, anyone making minimum wage would look at $147,000 a year and say that's still that's really just helping the wealthy.
It helps everybody, right? It's 4% on anybody that's doing that. But really, that applies to, what, about 90, 95% of Canadians that are under $147,000. So it does apply broadly enough to Canadians in a way that all of us can see some benefit. And then the people that are above $150,000 a year, which is the 5 to 10%ers, they get a bit of a break too, but their income is so much more than that that it's barely going to notice to them. It's really going to create the spending impetus on lower middle income families.
An economics professor who is in Halifax from time to time, as well as at Concordia. Moshe Lander, thank you so much for this. Happy holidays.
My pleasure. Same to you.
Take care. Moshe on the line with us this afternoon, talking about the stadium deal and tax breaks. We'll take a break, and after that, the taxation of your time. What's going on with Shelter Nova Scotia and the fundraiser? Dave Carroll will tell us all about that right after this news update.